Hi, this is Jeff Perry from St. Louis Family Church, and I am really glad this message has found you. You know, I believe that God gives us each day our daily bread, that He really cares about us, and He has attention to detail, the detail of your life and what really matters and what counts right now. You know, I believe that as you listen to this message, the Holy Spirit will illuminate something, some truth from the Word of God, something that causes you to draw closer to Jesus, and then in that, finding and discovering all the plan and purpose that He has for you. I want to encourage you as you listen to this message to let the Lord minister to you because He has something great for you today. God bless you as you hear His word.
Title of my message is Good Works. Good Works. Ephesians 2:10. Let's go there. Ephesians 2:10. We're going to slip over to Galatians. And I want to talk to you out of Micah chapter 6, verse 8. I was a Boy Scout growing up, and I got some ideas about good deeds. And God has called us to good works. If you're like me, you've had a long week, and I just want to go right into the Word. Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians is a letter Paul the Apostle wrote to Christians in the early days. It's just as pertinent now. He said, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for a reason. I propose to you tonight that you are created in Christ Jesus for good works." Our goal in life is to hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Our passion, whether at home or absent, is to be pleasing to Him. And we understand that good works please Him. Now, in Christian theology, we recognize that we're not saved by works, but faith without works is dead. Our faith is in danger of becoming extinct if it isn't matched with action. We are to have corresponding action with our faith. We're not just people that are theorists. We don't just have rhetoric. We're called to take action. And I want to show you that we're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God actually prepared beforehand that we should or would walk in them. So I propose to you that each one of us has things that He wants to do. God has things He wants to do through us. I think about Mr. Haglund starting the airport over here when this was just Missouri Bottoms, you know, and it was the catalytic stimulator that has now made this one of the most economically dense parts of St. Louis County. We've got the longest shopping mall on the planet. I don't know whether that's a good thing or not, but it's there, so I'm going to use it in my sermon. We've got a church that's fertilized with faith, hope, and love, and we've got individuals in this place that are catching the vision that God has called us to something beyond mediocre, something beyond status quo. He's called us, even in our just our daily grind, to enjoy the idea that He is at work in us and that He wants to do things through us. Can I hear an amen for that?
Amen.
Okay, now let's go over to Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Now, it's been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It's talking about the deeds of the flesh, and he's basically saying, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. So if you want to be effective, you need to walk closely with God, walk in His Holy Spirit, yield to the Spirit, and stay sensitive to the Spirit, and keep your head up and be available to the Holy Spirit. Make no mistake about it. The Holy Spirit still speaks. He speaks to our heart. The Spirit of a man is the candle or the lamp of the Lord. He illuminates all the rest of us by speaking His Holy Spirit in our spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. It's not flaky, it's not mystical, it's not some sort of spooky thing. It's actually divinely practical. God, in His general admonitions through the Word, shows us patterns. He shows us that His Holy Spirit wants to give us specifics. So I propose this to you. There is a grand life awaiting each one of us as we continue to obey God. It will be challenged. There will be pain and difficulty along the way because we are not promised a bed of roses. It's not the Garden of Eden. It's not heaven. This is no utopia. There are just flat out our challenges. That Satan is the god of this world. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But we've been given the life-changing message of Jesus. We've been given the most powerful name, the name of Jesus, that all of heaven is contained in that name. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Every demon will be repelled as we take our bold stand in the name of Jesus. As we take our stand, we have to understand we're created for good works. Galatians 6:2, one of the good works is that we bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. I want to comment on this for a minute. God's called us to be burden bearers. God's called us to be people of prayer, people that care. I'll tell you what I think. No matter how high tech everything gets, no matter how much technological advancement there is, no matter how much we get televised and emailed and text messaged and it gets more and more sophisticated, nothing ever will substitute for flat out personal regard, care, and interest in others. It will be the hallmark of the church. It has been and it forever will be. No matter when people are floating around on their hovercraft with their aluminum clothes, still people are going to need personal contact. The Bible doesn't say lay cell phones on the sick and they'll recover. It doesn't say lay emails on the sick and they'll recover. It says lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. It is a face-to-face call. And I propose to you that like me, there are people out there that just prayed in the last 36 hours, God, if you're really there, show me. The reason I'm up here hooting and hollering about 25 or however many people got baptized is because it represents people touching people, people bearing other people's burdens, people being bold to share the gospel, bold to pray, and more importantly, most specifically, bold to actually live it out in authentic terms so as to provide a true witness for the world. Because church, listen, at the end of the day, the best thing you and I can move in terms of good works is it really being good works? Good works, authentic works, genuine works, real sincerity. The Bible says unfeigned love of the brethren, where it's not artificial and phony. You don't want phony stuff. The world can pick it up fast. This youth culture is more sensitive to hypocrisy than anybody else. They must hear and see and feel and touch and be aware of and be in contact with people that recognize they're created in Christ Jesus for good works. I mean, you're the catalyst for your school. Quit belly aching about it. You're the light of the world. Of course it's darkness. Go in there and stand up for Jesus. So, well, that would just make me feel bad. Well, just stand up for Jesus anyway. At work, just stand up and be. It doesn't mean you have to go in there and, you know, just quote a bunch of King James at everybody. Let your life be just King James through and through. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what that meant, but it's good. Now, lest you feel obligated to be an enabler and a codependent where you just basically become a doormat, verse 5 clarifies that as we bear one another's burdens. It says, for each one will bear his own load. We have our own load to carry. But there are occasions where we need to lift people. I remember one time I was working while I was going through Bible school in the back warehouse at the grocery store. It was a combination, like a Walmart type of store, grocery, and then it had other stuff. There was a guy working back there, and we were loading boxes on the top shelves. We were both on the top, and we were throwing boxes to each other. And he threw me a box, and for some reason, he held on too long to the box, and he lost his balance. And he was getting ready to fall, and it would have been bad. We were way up on the top, and I knew that I needed to act fast. So I jumped off and hit him, just blocked him, and flew over, knocked him on his back, and I landed on the side. And it was this really cool kind of, I'm you know, kind of laying on him, and he's laying on his back, and he's like, as soon as, you know, he's kind of stunned a little bit, and then the box fell down, and he goes, and we did this guy bonding moment, like, oh yeah, thanks, hey, great, thanks, yeah, thanks, man, thanks. You know, I think you saved my life, man, thanks. Thanks a lot, man, right on. It was cool. I remember, though, that my throwing myself at him had to offset him. And the same things happen over and over again. I've been in places where I'm carrying stuff and my leg gave out under me. Somebody came right along. And have you ever had those kind of situations? I mean, I've been in a lot of those situations. My dad, I never forget, helping me ride a bike. You know, there's nothing like going, and all of a sudden you feel these hairy arms and hands, big old hands go, whoop, thank you. So we might just be the hairy arms and hands that the world needs right now. Bear one another's burdens. I want to just give you a heads up on this. Because if you look in the verses preceding, in verse 22 of chapter 5, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. And I want to talk to you about kindness as opposed to niceness, or as opposed to indifference, or as opposed to meanness. I want to centralize on that just for a few minutes. and share this with you as thoroughly as I can and tell you that that is really, I think, going to be the key to harvest in the end times. And I rarely get in and say this is the key, but I think, listen, nothing can ever substitute for authentic, genuine kindness. And I believe God is setting us up every day if we'll just be aware of the value of being kind to others. That I think in and of itself, because it's the fruit of the Spirit, it has spiritual power. It's the result of the Spirit coming into our lives, and I think it also produces results in kind as it goes. So I believe that when you're kind and it's sincere and you're endeavoring to make a difference and mark in the world, I even believe in the most subtle things where they may not even, you may not, well, I want you to know it's because of Jesus Christ that I was nice to you. I'm telling you, I have enough faith in God that He's going to use you in such radical ways. Come on, people. I'm challenging you tonight. This is my exhortation tonight. Because God is calling us to something here. In fact, let's go to Micah chapter 6, verse 8. You guys cool with Micah? Yeah. You better be, because he's going to ask you whether you read his book or not when you get to heaven. Micah. A lot of kids named Micah. How many of you know a person named Micah? Yeah, that's a good. Why? Because he was a great, they call him a minor prophet. I don't think he appreciates that. I think he was pretty major. But he made this statement about what God requires of us. I'm going to tell you something. My life has been seriously benefited by people who caught on to the power of the good works of being kind to one another. And my life has been equally impaired by people who lost sight of this. So is yours. Humanity and culture and population and family units and businesses and places of gathering rise or fall whether or not people are going to catch the value of walking in kindness. Now, I've had huge lapses in this where I got so down or wiped out or laid low that I could not even smile. And the last thing I wanted to do was be nice to other people. But I'm really not talking about nice. I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit, which is kindness. Love is patient, and the next one right after that is love is kind. And God has called us out of meanness and into kindness. I remember an older gentleman who got saved, and he was so struck by how his heart had changed. And his family mainly, they said he was so mean. But when he gave his life to Jesus, this grumpy, mean man had a turnaround and became a kind soul. Never cried, got tears of kindness in his heart and developed an attitude and a change. The Bible says that when we become Christians, we become a new creature. But some of the meanest people in the world can be Christians who lose sight of this and get so bound up. And I just want to encourage you to let go whatever's hindering you. In fact, Patsy and I have talked a lot about this. The enemy will design things to just either gradually trip us up or just come right at us and just try to wipe us out. And we've got to fight. Yeah. Sometimes there's friendly fire from within. Each one of us has hurt each other. You know, hurt people hurt people. And we got to learn to shake this stuff off, just like Paul when he was in Malta and shook the serpent off of his wrist. He's right in the middle of serving. Got bit by a serpent, venomous snake, shook it off, didn't die, continued to build the fire, prayed over people, had a revival on the island. Yeah. Some of you are, as I'm preaching this, you say, bear one another's burdens. I'm the burdened one. I need some help. Well, I've learned this. I talked to a guy for 53 minutes and 6 seconds. I saw it on my phone from another state. He called me because he was so under attack. And then at the end of the conversation, he said, you know what is amazing? And he named the people God had used him that day to encourage, actually kind of famous people. He said, it's amazing how I had the ability to minister to them, but I couldn't get myself out of my own pit. I said, well, God designed us that way. We are designed to bear one another's burdens. We're designed to, we need to carry our own major load, but we need each other. This is one of the coolest things I like about the kingdom and what I like about being in a sustained environment for a long period of time. Being married to Patsy for 27 years, doing life with people for long, long periods of time. We go through the challenges, we go through the high times, we go through the blessings, we go through the hardships. The thing is, we're going through. And the amazing joy that comes from people with tenacity and a commitment. I've been called by God to certain acts of kindness. You have been called by God and carved out and set apart for a series of divine happenings. And God, I'm telling you, if you'll get your head up on this, this is really what I want to have happen tonight, and get sensitized to this and make yourself available. Again, I'm not talking about being, I'm not prescribing being a doormat and just going around and just letting yourself get wiped out and drained. I'm talking about being available to the Holy Spirit on the occasions when He wants you to make a phone call, reach out to someone, give to somebody, pray for somebody, support somebody. Listen, there are people that were in that baptistry that were the result of people caring at the restaurant down the street. And it will spread. And I mean, listen, families get saved by one person's genuine act of kindness.
That's right.
This is evangelism on the highest level. I mean, we don't do relief work because we need to do relief work. We know that it's a great way to express the fruit of the Spirit of kindness and care about people. We're qualified to speak because we got flooded. Well, I'm amazed at how whenever you go through a thing, it qualifies you on another level to be able to speak into somebody's life. You guys with me? In that case, how many of you are forming quite a testimony and quite a message? Let me see your hands. You know what I'm talking about? Who in here would say, you know, I'm developing a testimony in here? I know people in here. I've been invited into some of your lives, and I know your passion is to please God. And listen to what Micah said in chapter 6, verse 8. It says in verse 6, 7, and 8, with what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to Him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn or my rebellious acts or the fruit of my body or the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Look at this power trio. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, the first one is just be right, live right, do right, be quick to repent, be devoted to the straight and narrow. I mean, there's a big broad path that leads to destruction, and many are they that find it. There's a narrow path that leads to righteousness, and few there are that find it. But God's called us to step up on that straight path and stay on it. Do justice, be honorable, be honest. When you're with your kids, don't pick favorites. Parents, don't have a favorite kid. Even if one is trying to be the black sheep and is trying to be mean, love with equality. Come on. Yes. Do justice. Do what's right. Do what's right. Do what's right. Make it right. Freak the people out if they give you too much change at the store. Drive back. Run there with the receipt and say, excuse me, excuse me. Oh, did you get short change? No, you gave me too much. Freak them out. Why'd you do that? Nobody ever does it. Well, you know, I just, hey, my clean conscience is worth $1.35. Or, you know, or $150,000. Or $1 billion. Or $100 billion. Come on. Do good. Do right. Walk humbly with the Lord. We got to stay humble on this thing and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And then the middle one is what I really want to land on. Love kindness. Kindness is the ability to love people more than they deserve. Nowhere else but in the kingdom are people equipped and power downloaded with the ability to love the unlovable. We actually have the capacity. You know why? Because our constant reference point is, I deserve to go to hell, but by God's mercy, I'm saved. I ought to forgive and bless everybody because I was going to burn forever and I deserved it. Yeah. We're not humanistic elitists in random selection and in survival of the fittest and refinement of the elite thing. No, we realize that we needed a Savior, and we're just so grateful. Who in here is grateful about it? I'm so glad to be saved. I'm so glad the burden of sin lifted off my life. I'm so glad that I could actually even have a relationship with God. As big as the universe is, that God would even care about me, would even bother to listen to me. It's just absolutely, think about it. Just want to hold your breath and just kind of explode over with joy over it. You actually can know God. And then the best way to get people to know God is to walk in kindness. Listen to what Mark Twain said. I could live for 2 months on a good compliment. Listen, we could be complimentary without being patronizing. We could be kind without coming across artificial. Some of you that are painfully shy or reserved or very quiet people, you could even have a greater punch with it because they go, what? This is the first time you talked in 45 years. Yeah. See, it's not just for the loquacious and verbal and all the blah, blah, blah. I'm telling you, man, my dad retired at 65, and I read on a stress diagram that out of 100, retirement is like a 40 to a 50. And I know for my dad, he was taking a hit on that. He was just not designed to retire. He worked a lot and he loved his work. So he immediately segued into the church. And instead of working for a defense industry, he's working with the church. And he's hanging out. Instead of working with the executive power guys, he's working with the Christian power people, the love people, the joy people, the peace people, the patience people, the kingdom people. And it freaked him out. I just watched my dad. He just tried to raise his hands and he just entered in. I had him go, Dad. You know, I had to kind of coach him a little bit, huh, Patsy? And it was fun watching my dad entry level walking at Dad, no, don't do that here. You know, don't say that. Don't think, you know. And then after a while, I'll never forget when he said, Jeff, he came driving his retirement Lexus with the pearl paint. Had chips all over it. He had shovels hanging out of it. John Moore and he are driving along in the tops of the levees like it's a four-wheel drive. He said, Jeff, I found a guy who needs ministry. I went, it's the first time he used a kingdom terminology. He's using jargon, you know. I think, what? He said, and he had tears in his eyes. He said, oh, he needs a ministry. It wasn't, he needs his house cleaned up. It wasn't, he needed it, you know, to have the mud pulled out. You know, he had been moving and all that. This time, it dawned on him what we were really all about. And I watched you guys. I watched people that were just living in kindness over a period of time do what my brother and I tried to preach and all this kind of stuff to my dad. And it was just going in, you know, just in a circle. But he watched people moving in the fruit of kindness. And it changed his entire life. I believe cities will be won by people that care. I believe what I'm sharing with you is nothing short of revolutionary. Because the narcissism, the self-centeredness, the self-indulgence that's gripping our world. And I don't need to go off on a tirade about the culture. I mean, you know, you do the math, just skim some of what's being shown. And just what's being modeled for the kids. And you'll see that we're becoming positioned that if we'll just act like just regular Christians, we're going to see some amazing harvest. Yeah. So he says, what do you want me to do? A bunch of million rams and rivers of oil and not just do justice, live right, love right, and walk humbly. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. My favorite memories in my life is when the fruit of kindness kicks in and I get an opportunity to express the love of Jesus in practical terms. You know what I'm talking about? Peter and John were on their way to pray. Acts chapter 3. And they're walking up and there's a guy who's been in a paralytic situation all his life and he's there begging alms. And they're walking up there and they go, well, we're just going to pray. I mean, they're just literally, it's not like, ooh, it's not like a marble statue. It's not like they're floating. You know, they're just going, hey, let's go to a prayer meeting, man. We need to pray. Whoa, what are we getting into? Let's go pray. So they're on their way to pray, and they see this guy, and they have this eye contact thing. And he fixed his eyes on him, expecting to receive something from him. And they fixed their eyes on him. And again, it wasn't a halo lightning thing. It wasn't the sort of freak me out look thing. And it was just, they just looked at each other. Have you ever had that eye contact thing? I'm not talking about the flirtatious, hey. I'm not talking about that. Don't do that. Don't do the flirtatious vibe thing. And don't respond to the flirtatious vibe thing. Oh, I feel the Lord's calling me to that person. No, he's not. That would be Satan. That would be the devil and then your flesh. Oh, please, come on. That might be my ministry to go and out-flirt them. No, it's not. I'm not advocating flirtatious garbage. I'm not advocating that. Don't yield to that. That's not the one where you have, that's not the vibe. Don't follow vibes. Vibes can be tricky. There is a spirit prompting. There's something of the Holy Spirit. Come on. Yeah. You get in a place and God will prompt you to do something. He'll prompt you. It's so wonderful. And he looked at him and he expected to receive something. He said, hey, we don't have any money on us right now, but such as we have, we'll give. That implies the disciples have something. That implies you've got something, baby. Let me tell you what Ralph Waldo Emerson said. I realize he was a humanistic guy, but listen, here's what a little rev he got. You cannot do a kindness too soon, for you never know how soon it will be too late. I think that's really importante. Even in church, even in your home, even with people that you're just doing life with and there's just an assumption that everything's all okay and on autopilot, be sensitive to the idea that God may want to prompt you to do something for them, say something to them. I think it's really important that we follow up on little promptings. Love kindness is an interesting phrase to me. Do justice, love kindness. I pray, as we close tonight, you'll love the idea that the fruit of the Spirit is kindness, not meanness, not indifference. Now remember, God's not calling us to just lay our lives out in a way that creates a codependent enabling thing. Some of you have been burned by that. The Samaritan, the priest and the Levite were indifferent and didn't care about the wounded person down on the ground. The Samaritan, however, stepped out, picked the guy up, cleaned him up, put him on his donkey, walked him into the inn, dropped him off, said, listen, I'm continuing on my journey, but whatever bill is incurred for this guy as he convalesces, just charge it to my account. He continued on his journey. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. So here's what I think. I think God's got something going on while we live in this life. We're to be rich in good works. We can't take any of our material things with us. But I think these are the gold, silver, and precious stones of the kingdom. I think lives rise and fall on whether or not we'll obey this simple, essential command. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works. I think the greatest revolution is going to be caused by simple obedience, following the subtle promptings of the Spirit, and just not underestimating the power of walking in genuine care. And I think it's going to be a culture revolution if the church catches on to really caring about people. I think this is why Service International is effective, because we're not down there for a photo op. We're not going in there to show off. We're going in there with our hat in our hand. We're going in there doing unto others as we'd have them do unto you. Why? Because we learn it from the Bible. Yeah. It's not because we're so holy. It's because He is, and He's calling us to respond and follow Him. You want to hear what Johann Wolfgang von Goethe said? I do. Just that name freaks me out. It's like a heavy metal guy. He said, kindness is the golden chain by which society is bound together. I pray, listen, you guys, if we get any label on this church, I pray that's a kind place. That's a loving place. That's a place where Jesus is king and people genuinely care for each other. He said, well, I've been to the third service and I've never met anybody from the second service. Well, meet them. Okay, here's my proposal. The guy that led me to Christ, the leverage was when he decided and he said out of his mouth, well, I'm going, I think he was going to Rialto or Etowanda. And I was going to Altaloma near Cucamonga. It's all tongues. See, I was destined to speak in tongues just by where I live. And he said, well, I'm going to, and I knew immediately, well, he's going to take a turn here and I need to take the turn this way. He said, I'll just give you a ride. I tell you, anything else he said after that, it was like, you got my attention, brother. You understand what I mean? Let's just create a revolution. I mean, this is better than bling. This is better than cash flow. It's better than name dropping. It's better than charm or looks or intellectual prowess or whatever. It's better than a cool house. I mean, the idea that we could actually have answers for other people's problems is a kick. Yeah. And you could just, and you don't have to, I mean, to the degree that you de-spookify the thing, that's the degree of I think, greater blessing and greater impact. I believe there are gifts of the Spirit available for us. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. The Bible says, pursue love, but desire earnestly spiritual gifts. In the services and outside. I mean, this is on time for us to all collectively get together and celebrate, get energized so we could go out there outside the four walls That's where our parish is. That's where our calling is. That's our platform. Come on. And I reckon God's got something set up in the next few months for us. Look as we close. I know that baby's crying over there because the baby wants me to finish. Close your eyes with me. Father, I pray you help every one of us.
In the Old Testament, King Solomon said, God has set eternity in our hearts. And what does that mean? That means there's a void on the inside of us. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's where that void comes from, that empty part. Humanity tries to fill it with relationships, with fame, with career moves, with material things, with substance abuse, all kinds of different things, religions. But that's a Jesus-shaped puzzle piece that only He can fill. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes to the Father but through Him. Jesus authentically came to this earth to destroy the work of the devil, to seek and save that which is lost. He was our great substitute. He said, look, I'll take your sin, everything that's separating you from a holy God, from my Father, and I will give you my right standing with God. I'll give you forgiveness. I'll give you righteousness as a gift. You can't earn it. It's by grace. So you say, what should I do? That's a great trade. I'm glad you asked. I want to lead you in a prayer to receive the free gift of righteousness. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, you know everything about me. Even though I don't know everything about you, I believe in you. And with all my heart, God, I believe Jesus Christ, your Son, is indeed the Lord. And that through faith in Him, I could have eternal life. God, please forgive me for all of my sins. I trust you. I know, Jesus, when you said it is finished on the cross, that the price was paid, that if I would receive you and confess you as my Lord and believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, I would be saved. And that's what I want. So God, right now, I receive your forgiveness. I want to be your child. No more running, no more looking for it in the wrong places. Jesus, come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I just want to encourage you that when you become a Christian, you become a new creation on the inside. And that's instantaneous. That's a brand new person. You've been born anew by the Spirit. But now there's something called follow through. And I want to encourage you on a couple of high points. There's a book called the Bible. Go to it and read it. Read the Psalms when you're discouraged. Read Proverbs when you need guidance. Read the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John accounts of Jesus' life so you can experience Him and come to understand His ways. Read the what they call the epistles, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, Romans and Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Read the whole New Testament. Read the Bible. It will enrich your life in a phenomenal way. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. There's also this item called prayer. Prayer is communication with God. It's engaging in interaction. It's not just a monologue. It's interacting with God from your heart to His heart. Now that you're saved, you can actually draw near to Him and have access with Him. And I want to encourage you to experience that constantly. Another place to be to bath to is a good fellowship. Find a good church. There are life-giving churches all over the place. Find one that lifts up Jesus, preaches the Bible, a place where it's healthy, where there's a vision for impacting the world, and go there and stay plugged in. Also, the great engaging thing to do is serve. The greatest in the kingdom is servant of all. Get involved with servanthood, and man, you'll just be refreshed as you volunteer and plug in and give the best you have for His purposes. Speaking of giving, learn to tithe and give offerings and give of your finances to the vision of that church you go to. God wants to bless you, and there's something powerful about being a giver. It breaks the stingy, greedy tendencies that we have, and it also honors God as we give of our finances, of our time, of our prayer, of our time to read the Word. I just want to encourage you, lastly, to also go tell somebody what's happened. That's called evangelism in the Bible. It's just really sharing good news, but just keep it real. And God bless you in your pursuit of Jesus and His perfect will for your life.